Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Reckoning by Jessica Rubin, narrated by C.J. Bloom and Troy Duran. Chapter 1. Eve. My anxiety peaks as I listen to the sorority girls gossip about Vincent and his stunner of a girlfriend, Daniela. Vincent's past words ricochet around my mind. 1 foot in one world, 1 foot in another. The doors of realization are now flung open, and there's no stopping the onslaught of truth. This man is Vincent Borgnone, a member of the largest crime family on the East Coast. He is also a student at one of the best colleges in the country. "My entire life is duality," he said. My head throbs. I try to calm down by focusing on my immediate surroundings, starting with my table in the dining hall. Claire, who I just met at the activity fair, sits on my right, with golden brown hair in a messy high bun, a light dusting of freckles on her nose, and a blue floral dress falling around her shoulders. She looks effortlessly beautiful. Her sorority sister, who I've nicknamed Preppy in Pink, because I can't remember her name, sits on my left. The collar of her rose-colored polo shirt is popped, and a string of white pearls sit around her slender white neck. She blends in seamlessly with the blue-blood crowd of this Ivy League university. The conversation gets loud again, and I can't help but listen in. My heart pounds into my stomach as the girls take a poll about whether or not sex with Vincent would be hot or scary as hell. They're likening him to a sexy vampire, a man everyone lusts after, but who may or may not take a vein. My mind is in overdrive as they all crack up with laughter. I need to get the hell out of here and look him up. Ms. Levine's warnings ring in my ears. I should have done my research, but instead chose to stay in the dark. The truth is banging on my brain, echoing through every organ in my body. I jump out of my seat, interrupting their conversation with my unexpected movement. Claire and her friends stare at me in confusion. "Sorry, guys, I forgot something in my room," I blurt the excuse, trying not to stutter. I swivel my head to Claire. "Sorry, but I need to go." I turn to the rest of the group, my ponytail swinging. "It was nice to meet you all." I smile, but I'd bet it looks more like a grimace. I drop down to the floor to grab my black backpack. Standing up too quickly, I smack the top of my head on the corner of the table. My eyes screw shut as I wonder what hurts more, the embarrassment or my skull. Finally getting the nerve to reopen my eyes, I see the girls staring at me, trying not to laugh. "Are you okay?" Claire's biting the side of her cheek. I resist the urge to rub the top of my head. "I'm totally fine." My voice sounds higher pitched than usual. She lets out a little chuckle. "Listen, we're all going out tomorrow night. Maybe you want to come with?" I shuffle from one foot to the other, itching to go. Sure. Text me? I don't take another glance at the girls as I pivot, running to the front door like my ass is on fire. At this point, I couldn't care less what they think. I just found out the man I thought I loved is Vincent Borgnone, son of the biggest mafia don on the East Coast. There's got to be some mistake. I get to the steps by the dining hall's entrance. Just as I'm about to leave, I pause. Maybe I saw wrong. Maybe that Vincent they're talking about isn't my Vincent. I turn my head to get one last look. Even sitting down, I can see how much bigger he is than the boys around him. My eyes cover his ink-black hair, styled in an undercut, his chiseled jaw beneath his high, widespread cheekbones, and his slight slant in the eyes, making him appear broody. The girls weren't wrong. He looks dangerous as all hell. I let out an involuntary groan as I spin back around, hightailing it out the door. I'm jogging to my dorm room as my mind runs in circles, Sliding my backpack from my left to my right shoulder, I plunge my hand inside the small zipper pocket, searching for my phone. I pull out the first hard thing I feel, and it's a tube of Janelle's coconut lip balm. Shit. I stuff my hand back inside again and pull out my cell. I'm about to open my browser when I realize I need to calm down and do my research in the privacy of my room. I don't want to open this can in public, which will most likely be full of something worse than worms. I know that what I'm about to see will probably annihilate me, but there can be no more hiding my head in the sand. Vincent's here, and it's time I face the truth. I drop my phone back in my bag, trying to walk the rest of the way calmly. A few extra minutes won't mean anything. I make it to my dorm room and fall into the chair at my desk. Flipping my laptop open and clicking on Firefox, I type in Vincent Borgnone. There are hundreds of photos of him with his girlfriend. Holy shit. My belly drops like a sack of cement. I move my mouse through the images. The first photo I see is Daniela in a tight white nurse's jacket, tits pushed up and pouring out. Her thin arms wrap themselves around Vincent's strong neck. She makes a kiss face to the camera, showcasing high cheekbones and full blood-red lips. Vincent looks a bit rumpled, like he hasn't shaved in a few days. Dressed in green doctor's scrubs, he's the sexy doctor to her overly styled nurse. I continue scrolling through photographs, clicking on another one that catches my eye. The caption reads, "Winter Wonderland Gala." Daniela is in a long pink sequin gown that pools by her feet. Vincent wears a gorgeous navy tux. It's dawning on me that they are socialites. The next photograph is of the two of them at an event for poor inner city children. The irony that I'm that poor inner city child isn't lost on me. I continue to surf the internet, weirdly feeling like I'm researching a complete stranger. After looking at hundreds of photographs, I enter the world of YouTube and click on a video of Vincent wrestling at Tri Prep Academy. He's wearing a black singlet with a yellow lion on the front. I swallow hard, staring at every perfectly defined muscle in his body as he takes down his opponent. Raising my eyebrows, I take a look at his gigantic package. My body immediately flushes. Why the hell did I never know how hot it is to watch guys wrestle? The crowd is going berserk when he wins. He looks up for a moment, and I can immediately tell that he was younger here, but still gorgeous. My stalking knows no bounds as I read and watch anything and everything I can get my hands on. Columbia seems to have a gossip column of its own, high and low, and Vincent and Daniela are on it weekly, spotted around campus like celebrities. The first story I find is titled, "Vincent and Daniela, They're Just Like Us." I assume it's a satire of Us Weekly gossip magazine. Photo one shows them drinking coffee at a local cafe. The second shows him holding her hand, entering the mathematics center. The third has them at a back table of the library, books scattered around the desk while they study. The fourth has them in side-by-side photographs at the gym. On the left, he's bench-pressing a barbell. On the right, she's jogging on the treadmill. Her workout outfit is a white sports bra and matching white leggings with shiny stars. Finally, I find a photo of Vincent with an older man at a charity. My throat tightens. He's with Antonio Borgnone. They look so much alike, I can barely believe it. His father's eyes are electric blue, just as I remember from that day at the pawn shop. In fact, their physical similarity is so strong that it's almost ridiculous I didn't notice right away. Vincent is taller and more muscular, but he's his father's son. I drop my head, forcing myself to see the truth. Vincent is the son of Antonio Borgnone, the most notorious gangster on the East Coast, and his girlfriend looks like she's got the beauty of Grace Kelly and the brains of Einstein. I kick out my garbage can from beneath my desk, feeling like I'm going to puke. No, I'm stronger than that. I move my hand back to my computer, staring at the most recent photo of them on high and low. They're in the science lab conducting an experiment. Even with huge goggles and in front of a Bunsen burner, they look like perfection. Finally, I pull out my cell phone and open up my Instagram account. Searching for his name, it's not difficult to find. His profile isn't private. I click on the first photo and see him drinking a beer on a yacht in Capri. Tan chest and low-slung blue swim shorts. The next photo shows him training at a boxing gym in Bali with his shirt off. My body feels numb as I scan picture after picture, but when I glance at my fingers, I notice they're shaking. Moving back to the first picture, I see the last time he posted was a little over a year ago. I check how many followers Vincent has. 200,000! And he's been silent for a year? Like a tempest, I feel a rush of anger and depression move through me. Clearly, I've been played. How could I have been so stupid to think that he would ever want me? And how could I be even more stupid not to realize who he is? I don't take a breath before I click on Daniela's name, tagged on one of Vincent's photos. I know that what I'm about to see will hurt me, but I'm on a masochistic binge right now, knifing myself with truth. For some reason, I feel as if I need to see all of this. I want to make sure that my brain, heart, and body all understand that whatever I thought I had with Vincent is good and done. Finally, clicking on her name, I see she has 1.4 million followers. I look at hundreds of photos, dissecting each and every detail. Her entire feed is about New York City glamour and travel. Even the mundane shit she does is perfect. In one photo, she's eating a hot dog in Central Park with her tiny little white dog on a leash. In another, she's strutting across a New York City street in sky-high heels and a cropped fur jacket. In another picture, she's wearing a long silver gown and hanging on the arm of the sexiest man alive, Vincent, for an event. Feed the children. I read the comments. Beach and Sand 472. Who makes your gown? Love. Pebbles and Rocks. You guys are perfect. She reigns. Please grab his ass for me. Doc Alley. OMG. Hashtag goals AF. Jhar 4572. Dying. Love, love, love. Candy Baby 999. Obsessed. Need that dress. And that man. Fashion for more. He's hot AF. Janana Nana. Hashtag couple goals. Another photo. Daniela dives off a yacht, her pink bikini sparkling under the sunlight. Her caption, St. Bart's with Bay. Vincent's watching her with a smile on his face, as if he can't believe how beautiful she is. Did he ever look at me like that? I move to another photo and see them at the Robin Hood Gala, raising money to combat New York City homelessness. Caption, enjoying a special night with the love of my life. Hashtag Miley Cyrus. Hashtag Coldplay. Hashtag stop homelessness. Hashtag love my city. Hashtag best man ever. Hashtag heart of gold. Hashtag good cause. Hashtag charity. Hashtag giving. Hashtag Robin Hood. I do a quick Google search and see that tables for this event started over $10,000. I move back to Instagram, staring at another photo of Daniela at the Robin Hood Gala. She's posing with a girl who looks just like her, but with blonde hair instead of auburn. The girl's name is tagged and I click, finding myself on Daniela's sister's page. The first photo I check is in the middle of her feed. A group of friends smile around a huge white Christmas tree, decorated in what looks like hundreds of gold and silver ornaments. The caption, Christmas in Vermont. Enlarging the photo with my thumb and forefinger, I spot Vincent smiling in the background in a black sweater and jeans. Considering how tall he is, the tree must be over 7 feet. My heart constricts. I've never seen a tree this perfect in my life. I remember all the years Janelle and I would celebrate Christmas a week late, so we could take someone's old tree from the dumpster. I'd string Fruit Loops on a colorful lanyard, while Janelle would put a knot at either end so the cereal wouldn't slide off. And then I'd sit on her shoulders and scatter our stringed cereal around the tree. My eyes prickle with tears, remembering how beautiful and special I thought it was. Meanwhile, I was nothing but a poor gutter rat living in the ghetto with a big sister who tried to make it right. I swallow the thought as I read Daniela's sister's hashtags. Hashtag après ski. Hashtag sorry not sorry. Hashtag cheers. Hashtag kisses under the mistletoe. Hashtag don't be jealous. Hashtag life is good. After finding myself on Daniela's sister's boyfriend's page, I know I've gotten out of hand. I shut my phone off because I don't trust myself not to go back for more. I sprawl out on my bed, shaking my feet until my shoes pop off. My eyes burn from staring at my phone for so long. I should study, read. I need to compartmentalize this and keep my focus on school. In fact, I should be happy all of this unfolded because it makes it clear that whatever we had is ancient history. Part of me wants to die, but another part of me wants to show his ass up. I never want to feel like this again, and I refuse to ever be that girl I used to be. I was naive and stupid. I spend the rest of my night with my eyes glued to my books, hoping if I just study hard enough, I can push the Vincent shit to the back of my head. I went through hell and back to be where I am, and I won't let a man stop me from succeeding. With the help of the school's guidance counselor, I've already planned out my path to becoming an attorney like I've always dreamed, the possibility of a safe and secure future, complete with money in the bank, is so close, I can practically taste it. As far as I'm concerned, nothing else matters. Vincent Borgnone can go to hell.
Chapter 2. Vincent. The fall semester began last week, and I've got a shitload of work to get done, in addition to work for the family. Unfortunately, I'm stuck here at Maison Kaiser, a fancy French coffee shop on the Upper East Side. Daniela snootily orders 4 different desserts and a skim milk cappuccino from the waiter, requesting the shape of a heart in the foam. This restaurant actually pays Daniela to eat here, just so she'll take a picture of her enjoying the food and post it on the internet. Apparently, millions of girls all over the world look up to Daniela and want to eat where she eats. Last week, she posted a photograph of her lip gloss, and within an hour, the color was sold out almost everywhere. Yes, miss. The waiter stumbles over his words before scurrying away. She smiles like an evil cat. Daniela loves to make people fidget.
You know, Vincent,
she presses her overly plumped lips together, shifting forward to get closer to me.
The whole milk cappuccino looks a lot more beautiful than the skim one. I feel like the color is whiter. I wonder if there's anything to that theory.
She looks at me expectantly, tilting her head to the side. She's put some shimmer or some shit on her cheeks, and it makes her face sparkle. I stare at her but refuse to answer such a dumb question.
Waiter,
she calls out, not taking her green eyes off mine. She lifts her hand to the air, shifting her fingers around like an impatient child. He walks back over to us. Before he can take out his pad and a pen, she barks her updated order.
I want a skim and whole milk cappuccino.
Her demanding attitude grates on my nerves.
And I'm in a hurry. Have them rush it.
I finally break my hatred-fueled eye contact to look at the waiter, stopping him before he can walk away. Thank you. He nods at me appreciatively before leaving. She snickers at the angry look on my face.
Oh, come on, Vincent. It's his job.
I shake my head slowly. The way you treat people, Daniela.
Oh, come on. You're the richest man in this place. Don't be so sour.
Sour? What does money have to do with anything? You have no respect for anyone. All you care about is your social media bullshit.
Don't talk down to me,
she spits.
Social media is the new age.
No one gives a fuck.
They don't? Tell that to my million followers or the designers who beg me to wear their clothes and accessories.
She pulls out a green cashmere sweater from a shopping bag hanging off her seat.
Tell that to this gorgeous sweater you've been gifted by Armani. People would die to get this for free.
I'm not wearing your shit. I crack my knuckles one at a time. You ask me all the time, and the answer is always the same. No. You need me to come out, smile for a damn photograph? Fine. But wearing the clothes you choose? Fuck no. I clench my jaw and she immediately pulls back. She drops her lips into a frown. I can sense she's going to try a new tactic. Daniela is nothing if not a great actress.
Vincent, you don't have to wear any of it, okay?
Her voice is 5 times higher than it was a moment ago, her eyes spelling out disappointment. But I know the only real thing behind her gaze is calculation. I let out a cutting laugh. I'm not your bitch, Daniela. I never will be. I don't wear what you tell me to wear. I do what I want, when I want. Feel me? I may be stuck in this fucking lie of a relationship to keep your father happy, but remember that you and I are nothing in real life. Don't delude yourself into thinking otherwise. She tries to put her hand on mine, but I tear it away before she can touch me.
I know, baby. Calm down. You're too wound up. It's because classes have started, right? I know how serious you get about school.
She looks around, making sure no one is watching us argue. The idea that anyone might see us gets her nervous.
Tell me what I can do to relax you, huh?
She licks the corner of her lip seductively. I practically snarl. You've got to be kidding me. I throw my napkin on the table and push my chair back, wanting to get the hell away from her.
Come on.
She purrs with a gleam in her eye.
I know we haven't fucked in ages, but it doesn't mean you can't change your mind.
I grip the side of the table, my knuckles turning white. I will never touch you again. Understand? I take a deep breath, doing my best not to flip the table and walk out. Luckily, the waiter brings the 2 cappuccinos and a tray full of gourmet desserts, none of which she plans to eat. I've actually watched her take bites of food only to spit it out after the photograph has been taken. The waiter glances at my hardened face and drops the dishes in front of us before speed-stepping to the back of the room.
But why, Vincent? We were so good together.
No, we weren't.
We used to fuck like crazy. You loved it. I know you did. I just don't understand.
My life isn't for you to understand, I growl in frustration. She can't take a hint. She sits up with her lips pursed, knowing no matter how much I hate her guts, I'm not going anywhere.
Anyway, sit back. I don't want your shadow in the pictures. Oh, actually, do you think you'll eat a dessert for me? I think everyone would love to see you opening wide for something white and creamy.
She raises her brows, smirking. Does she think she's funny? I breathe hard, trying not to tear the hair from her skull. You're a sick bitch. You know that?
If I remember clearly, it didn't bother you too much before. In fact, I think you liked it.
Daniel Costa is into some kinky shit, and that's saying a lot coming from a man like me, who has done it all, and then some. When we started out, I was nothing but a cocky kid, willing to lay it on her for 2 reasons. 1, she was hot. 2, the family wanted someone to keep a close eye on the business we had with her father, owner of the largest bank in Central America. Costa houses and cleans our dirty money. Daniela and I went to school together, and it was damn obvious she wanted my dick. It was no surprise my father tapped me on the back to handle it. We all hate Alexander Costa, and everyone knows he's a loose cannon. There really isn't another option to working with him. Not yet, at least. As our operations continue to grow and give off cash, the small-time pawn shops and strip clubs aren't enough to launder all of our money. Costa, on the other hand, has the capacity to clean tens of millions a year. The situation seemed easy. I fucked Daniela, kept an eye on business, and all was well. And then I met Eve. She's genuine and smart and somehow perfect for me. She just got me. The real me. I knew I couldn't touch Daniela anymore. It's not that I was ever faithful to her, and she easily accepted it. Once I met someone real, the thought of another woman wasn't appealing anymore. Simple as that. I spoke to the family, letting them know business dealings between Costa and the family were functioning well, and we had no reason to keep such a close eye on him anymore. The man was making a huge percentage off our business. None of us thought he'd be dumb enough to jeopardize that kind of cash flow. But when I made it clear to Daniela that she and I were done, she went insane. I don't think anyone in her life has ever told her no before. It only took an hour for Costa to call my father and go berserk, threatening the family. Keeping his Princess Daniela happy was necessary, or he'd stop laundering and holding our cash. Apparently, she was in the midst of growing her social media empire, and my face was essential to her growing fame. A family vote was called, and everyone insisted I make it right with her. I was told to do whatever it takes to keep her happy. That is, until I build a new business to take over Costa's use of ours. I've spent this past year working to build out my own hotel and casino complex on the tribal lands in Nevada. As the son of a Miccosukee tribe member, I have some inalienable rights, which I plan to capitalize on. And if the numbers turn how I expect them to, our dirty cash can easily be laundered within the hundreds of millions we'll be making per year in clean money. Once I get the family out of Costa's grip, I'll be free of him and his leech daughter. And then, maybe, I can find Eve again. The terms between Daniela and me right now are simple. I have to look and act as though I'm still with her. She doesn't care whether or not we fuck anymore, so long as I play the part. But if I refuse to smile for the damn camera, she'll get Daddy involved and the family would be left with a boatload of cash that the FBI would love to get their hands on. I'm stuck being her public boyfriend until gaming gets off the ground. Daniela shifts a bony shoulder and shuffles in her seat, bringing my attention back to her.
I think the red raspberries look best against the white cup, don't you?
She moves the cappuccino slightly askew and snaps maybe 20 pictures of each dessert with a frothy drink. Standing up to get other angles, her jeans hug her flat ass. How do millions of girls look up to this shit? Daniela stops taking pictures, putting her fancy iPhone down on the table and bringing the cappuccino up to her glossy lips.
Okay, talk to me. What's going on, Vincent? You're brooding and more pissed off than usual.
She rolls her eyes, putting down her cup. I clench my teeth. Just take the fucking photo already. We both know why I'm here today, and it isn't to chit-chat.
Okay, if you insist,
she smiles.
Turn to the side and lean back on the chair with your foot crossed to the front.
The flash goes off, and I grind my teeth together.
Chapter 3. Eve. The next morning, I decide I will do everything in my power to forget Vincent goes to school here. I do my best to focus on starting my day, one small step at a time. After washing up and getting dressed, I take a quick trip to the dining hall for a gigantic coffee and a bagel. Bringing the food back to my desk and sitting quietly to eat, I do my best not to get any crumbs on the floor. Finally, I crack open my economics textbook. My room is a simple square, located on the third floor of one of the old Gothic buildings making up the freshman quad. The desk next to mine is empty. I was supposed to have a roommate, but she decided last minute to defer admission for a year. After living in the Blue Houses, where I could hear my neighbors' conversations and smell everyone's cooking 24/7, this room has become my own little sanctuary. Staring at the supply and demand curve, I again reread the same passage. I need this shit to make sense. I drop my head on my desk and groan. It's only 10 in the morning, and I already feel tired. And then, like a three-dimensional puzzle with a gaping hole in the center, my brain finds the missing piece and places it right where it belongs. Oh, thank God! I exclaim out loud. I understand! I get it! I jump from my chair, dancing to music that isn't on, shaking my ass left to right. My phone buzzes mid-dance, and I smile wide when I see it's Claire. After my weird stunt yesterday, I was worried she'd write me off. Claire, meet me at my dorm at 10. Brearley Houses. Come early if you want to pregame. Me, I'm planning on studying today. Not sure if I'll be feeling up to going out later. Can I text you? Come on, girl. We'll have fun. Come out. I look back at the economics book. I deserve to go out, right? I promised Janelle last week that I'd do my best to get out more at night. Now that I'm living in relative safety, I don't have to be a hermit. And while it's hard to change my old ways, it's something I'm consciously trying to modify about myself. You know what?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?